Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. You might know this already, but not everyone who claims to be a Satanist actually believes in Satan. Now, to be sure, there are those who literally worship the demonic being, the devil, Satan, but far more who claim Satanism simply believe in the devil as a figure, as a representation. They worship what the devil represents or signifies, and that is the total worship of the self. This, we ought to be very careful, because this form of Satanism, self-idolatry, is just as harmful, if not more so, than the literal worship of the being Satan himself. For worshiping yourself is far subtler, far easier to fall into, and far easier to overlook than explicit occult practices, satanic arts. That famous saying has a grain of truth to it. The greatest trick that the devil ever pulled was convincing the world that he doesn't exist. Now, some people suppose that the reason the devil fell from heaven was because of pride. And it is true, the devil is a proud and wicked spirit. But, perhaps ironically, one thing that the devil doesn't take pride in is his own name, Satan. He's happy to go by anything. You can worship him under any name you wish. God or goddess, Allah, Buddha, money, pleasure, power, and perhaps above all, your own name. Whatever you want to call him, the devil doesn't mind. And all the more, the devil is very tolerant, open-minded, enlightened. He has no doctrines that you have to confess. It doesn't have any commandments that you have to obey. No, his will is simply that your will be done. His only commandment, do what you will. His desire is for you to fulfill your own desires. He encourages you to enjoy yourself, indulge yourself, make yourself like God. Of course, in that, he has nothing new to say. That's the very same thing he said back to Eve in the garden at the beginning. You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, you will be like God. Your eyes will be opened, knowing good and evil. And that's when the woman fell. For no longer did she take heed to the word of the Lord, but instead her eyes turned to the tree and saw that it was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise. And ever since, the devil has tempted all humanity toward self-indulgence, both the righteous and the unrighteous. Same devil who tempted King Ahab to claim Naboth's vineyard also led King David to take the married Bathsheba for himself. And this is exactly how he tempted Jesus. Now, to be clear, when the devil began his temptations with the statement, "If you are the Son of God," he wasn't uncertain about Jesus' true identity. He knew full well who Jesus was. After all, he'd been waging war against Jesus for millennia, ever since that first deception in the Garden of Eden, and even beforehand when he fell from heaven. And so he knew full well that Jesus was the Christ. He knew full well that Jesus was the promised offspring, the seed, who was prophesied to bruise his head after that first sin in the garden. Not to mention immediately before that, in his baptism, the Spirit of God had descended on him like a dove and came to rest on him. And the voice of God the Father from heaven had said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." So the devil knew full well that Jesus is indeed the Son of God. The question, however, for the devil was what kind of son of man would Jesus prove to be? The devil thought that Jesus, in the end, would be like every single other son of man that he had ever encountered, ever tempted, ever led to fall. Self-interested, self-serving. And so that's the direction of every one of the devil's temptations of Jesus. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus was hungry. So the devil offered him loaves of bread miraculously made from stones that he might eat, be comfortable. After being led up into the wilderness, Jesus was weak and lowly and exhausted. So the devil took him to the pinnacle of the temple and offered him angelic rescue and honor. Jesus was alone in the wilderness. Only the wild animals as his companions. So the devil offered to step up and help him out, to be his God, take over. That really is the capstone of the devil's three temptations here in Matthew's gospel. For if the devil were Jesus' God, he would give Jesus every comfort, every pleasure, every honor, without suffering and dying. He would give him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory without the cross. He'd be happy to relieve Jesus of that burden. And so we see from this temptation that the devil is not that terrifying beast we normally think of, with horns and tail and a pitchfork, fire and brimstone. At least, that's not how he appears to us. The scriptures say he often appears as an angel of light, wanting what seems to be best for us. He wants Jesus to eat. He wants Jesus to be safe. He wants Jesus to get all that he deserves, not have to suffer and die. But Jesus refused. For Adam and Eve, both good King David and wicked King Ahab, and every single other human being in history has fallen to the devil's lies, Jesus stood firm. In every respect, he was tempted as we are, and yet without sin. He proved himself not to be a self-serving son, but rather he proved himself to be a self-sacrificing son. He suffers hunger and shame, weakness and exhaustion, lowliness in the wilderness, and he does so gladly and willingly for the joy that was set before him, the salvation of all mankind. For our sake and for the sake of sinners throughout history, around the world, Jesus resisted the devil. He was not deceived, he was not misled. He saw through the devil's flimsy attempts to keep him from the atoning sacrifice of the cross. He saw how the devil wanted to keep him from shedding his blood to pay for the sins of the world. He saw how the devil wanted to prevent forgiveness, life, and salvation from being won for all people, from all times and places. And so in the wilderness, Jesus not only denied the devil, but he denied himself, in order that he might take up his cross. Self-sacrifice that he embodied in the wilderness led him to Calvary. Though he was betrayed and condemned, blasphemed and mocked, rejected, shamefully treated, spit upon, beaten, and crucified, Jesus never once, even in the slightest, fell to the devil's temptations to save himself. Instead, passion began. Jesus prayed, "My Father, not as I will, but as you will." And thus he was silent before his accusers. He allowed them to flog him, and beat him, and slap him, and shove a crown of thorns upon his head, pound nails into his hands and feet, into that rough-hewn cross. And all the while, he prayed that God would forgive those who knew not what they were doing. He welcomed that thief on the cross who justly was suffering the punishment of his transgression into paradise, forsaken by God. But at the last he cried out, "It is finished." In the wilderness, the devil gave Christ every opportunity to put himself first. And those temptations continued, and especially on the cross. The devil even cried out through those who passed by, using the same words that he did in the wilderness, "Save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." But Jesus did not come down. He did not save himself. He resisted the devil. He did so for you. He remained on the cross, hanging, bleeding, dying, because he loves you. This is divine love, godly love, something the devil does not get and will never get. God is love, and God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God's will is that you, and indeed all sinners, be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. This is God's joy. This is God's desire. This is not what the devil wants. The devil wants the selfish pursuit of satisfaction, comfort. But Christ, the Son of God, desires the pursuit of your salvation. Everything that Jesus did on this earth in his flesh and blood, incarnate by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, he did for you, to save you. We hear this in that great prayer that is especially urged upon us in the season of Lent, litany. From his baptism, fasting, and temptation, to his agony and bloody sweat, to his cross and passion, to his precious death and burial, to his glorious resurrection and ascension, Jesus did it all for you, because of his boundless love for you. It's also for this reason that Jesus did not turn those stones into bread, or leap off of the temple, or fall down and worship the devil. Because Jesus Christ did not come down from heaven for his own benefit. Rather, he came down for us men and for our salvation. But as you know, the devil, though he is defeated, though he is destined for that eternal lake of fire, has not given up. Mortally wounded, still prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And so the devil still tempts you to self-gratification, self-glorification, self-preservation. Still the devil would tempt you to fall down and worship him. And again, in whatever name or form takes your fancy, even in your own name. And he promises to you the whole world and its glory. Still the devil would tempt you to say, "Oh God, not as you will, but as I will." And yeah, the devil seems to want what's best for you. It seems that the devil wants only good things for you. But never forget that the devil is a liar and a murderer from the beginning. His pleasures only end in torment. His riches only end in desolation. And that's true now, even on earth. The sinful pleasures and pursuits of this life, they might bring a momentary happiness, and yet they soon end only in emptiness, regret, and pain. Doing what you will does not end in fulfillment. It does not bring contentment. It doesn't bring joy. The end of such things is death. But you have been justified by God's grace through faith. You are baptized into Christ Jesus. You are fed and nourished by his very body and blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. You have been given his word in your ears, on your lips, in your mind, and in your heart. And this is no small thing. By this word, our Lord Jesus Christ resisted every temptation of the devil. The word is truly weapons of righteousness for our right hand and for our left. And it's these weapons that God gives to you, to his people, to wield. They're not reserved for Jesus, the Son of God alone. And so we see the Apostle Paul, who claimed to be the foremost of sinners, also remained a servant of God in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise, treated as an impostor, unknown, dying, punished, sorrowful, poor, having nothing. If the devil were to have his way, Paul along with every other Christian, would have fled from God long ago because of such afflictions and hardships. By the power of God's word, by bearing those weapons of righteousness, Paul, like his Lord Jesus, endured sacrifice for the sake of others. In a small way, this is why we take up the traditional Lenten disciplines in this season. Disciplines that have to do with self-denial, fasting, and almsgiving. Fasting is to deny yourself food and drink, which serves as a reminder of your mortality, and is to free some time, additional time, for charity and for worship. Almsgiving is to deny yourself the use of your money for your own pleasures or comfort, but instead to use the money you have to support your neighbors who are in need. But above these, the chief Lenten discipline is an intense focus on prayer and devotion to the Word of God. This is perhaps the ultimate denial of yourself, to deny your own will being done, to deny that you provide your own daily bread, to deny that your own righteousness is the cause of your salvation. It means to sorrow over your sins. It means to have a sincere desire to amend your ways and to do better. It means having denied yourself to look to Jesus Christ alone, who did for all the world atone. He is our one Redeemer. For again, while fasting and bodily preparation are certainly fine outward training, the person is truly worthy and well prepared who has faith in God's word. And so as we begin this season of Lent, on this first Sunday in Lent, perhaps you've already determined to give up something for Lent. Begin by remembering those vows that you made at your baptism and renewed again at your confirmation. That you have renounced the devil. You have renounced all his works. You have renounced all his ways. That is to renounce all those temptations and sins that cling so closely. Lust, greed, envy, anger, bitterness, unforgiveness. Renounce these things. Give these things up, not for Lent, but rather as one who has died to sin and walks in newness of life. And take up such things as purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love. With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And you have the truthful speech of God's word, which is the power of God. Again, by this power, you are able to put the devil to flight. Now, will you stumble and fall? Will you return to those sins for which you've repented? Will you listen to the devil when he turns you back toward yourself? Yes. You confess yourself rightly to be a poor, miserable sinner. We rightly confess in the Catechism that we daily sin much and surely deserve nothing but punishment. And thus the old Adam still dwells. But take heart and believe the gospel, the good news that our Lord Jesus Christ was tempted, suffered, and died for you. And he is risen indeed. He has bruised the serpent's head. Therefore, Satan is defeated. Your sins are no longer counted against you, but instead you are counted as righteous for Jesus' sake. And the crown of righteousness is laid up for you who share in his victory by grace through faith. This morning, as we take our first few steps in this Lenten journey to the cross, our lessons remind us that the devil, prowling lion, is always encircling us, seeking to devour us. And yet he does so with a smile seemingly on his face. His utmost desire is that people do what they want, which in the end is what he wants. That they worship themselves, which in the end is worshiping him. And the devil cannot even begin to grasp why anyone would refuse that, but instead take up weakness and suffering and restraint, take up their cross to follow Jesus. To the devil, this is all foolishness. And so he will promise you every earthly pleasure and desire to turn you away from the cross that leads to life, the ways of the world that lead only to hell. Were it not for Jesus, we would all listen to the devil's lies. We would all follow him right into that lake of fire that is never quenched. But Christ Jesus has beaten down Satan under your feet. By the word of God, the weapon of righteousness, he has destroyed the works of the devil and set you free. By the blood of his cross, he has forgiven all your sins and iniquities. You are counted as his brothers and sisters, and he is not ashamed of that. In him, you will finally overcome the temptations of the devil. You will win the victory. The kingdom yours remaineth. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.